Take your Bible, if you would, tonight, 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. While you're finding your place, I like to jot down things. I saw this the other day, and there's a lot of truth to it. You know, we believe in prayer. We believe in getting a hold of God and praying. Particularly, we like praying in great times of need. And I saw this the other day, and it says, if you pray for rain, be prepared to deal with some mud. There's a lot of truth to that. You know, if you're going to get a hold of God and ask Him for something, just be ready. There's mud involved with it. And it's a shame that some of the mud you have to put up with comes from, unfortunately, other believers. And that's the shame of it. You know, you can expect it from a lost crowd. You shouldn't expect that from the people of God, one toward another. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20, stand with me. I'm just going to read just a small portion of one verse tonight as our text. And I want to preach to you about the value of trust. The value of trust. You'll find your place in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 20. Paul's closing out his letter here to a young preacher. If you go back and read the six chapters of 1 Timothy, you'll find he basically covers everything with him from A to Z. He begins to conclude his letter to Timothy, and he makes this statement in verse 20 as he's about to close his letter. He says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. He says, keep that, all the things that I've spoken to you about, keep that which is committed to thy trust. And I want to take that verse tonight. We're going to examine some other verses as we go along for the few moments that we have tonight. And church, I want to say to you, I'm not here tonight to try to exhaust the subject of the value of trust. And my goal tonight is simply to get you to think about the issue and how important, how valuable that trust is to your Christian life and to your fellow brethren as you serve with them in the local church. Now, Father, bless our time together. Thank you for the privilege that we have to be able to be in church on Wednesday night. Open our hearts, our minds to the things of God. We ask that you'd show yourself great tonight in this service, we pray. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen. You may be seated. You know, trust is one of those valuable commodities in life that's a stabilizer. It stabilizes things in our life. It doesn't matter whether it's dealing with other people or whether it's in our relationship with the Lord. You see, trust is a foundational element, church, that cements. It's a staple of your Christian life. For instance, let me give you some illustrations here. Trust is a foundational element in a marriage relationship. If trust does not exist in a marriage relationship, it will, you listen to me, it will not survive. Trust must be there. It serves as a foundational support in a marriage that we build all of the other things in our marriage upon. And so trust becomes that foundation. It's important. It's valuable to a husband and a wife. But may I say also to you that trust is also a foundational element in a family relationship. Not just a marriage relationship, but a family relationship. For instance, wives and children put their trust in their dad or their husband to make ends meet, to provide for the home. And so they put their trust in daddy and they put their trust in husband to provide, to lead. You see, trust from a husband is very, very important. But it works both ways. Not only should the wife and kids trust in the husband, but also the husband should put his trust in the wife to help guide and train the kids at home. You see, so trust is important not just to a marriage relationship, but it's also valuable to a family relationship. May I say to you, it's also valuable to a friend relationship. to a friend relationship. You see, a proper and lasting friendship is built on trust. And may I say to you, this is the only type of friendship that will last the test of time. When there is no trust involved in a friendship, that friendship will not last. Just like when there's no trust involved in a marriage, that marriage will crumble. Just like trust, if there's no trust in a family relationship, there will be turmoil. Listen to me. I'm saying that trust is valuable to your life in every area. Not just in a marriage relationship or a family relationship or a friend relationship. May I say to you next, it is also important in your job relationship. In your job relationship. You see, trust must exist between an employer and an employee. Between ownership and management. It's a key, and may I say, without it, a business will not and cannot prosper. There must be an element of trust involved there. And then let me say lastly, not only is there the value of trust in a marriage and a family and a friend and a job relationship, kind of where I want to focus tonight is the value of trust in your spiritual relationship. In your spiritual relationship. This is our walk with God, our fellowship with God, our love for God. You see, without trust involved in our spiritual relationship, there can be no real and sincere fellowship. I think most of us have heard many times quoted Amos 3:3, right? How can two or can two walk together except they be agreed? I mean, you've got to agree. There's got to be mutual trust, see, there, in order for two to walk together. Can a family, a marriage, a friendship, a job, or a Christian walk with God work properly except they be agreed? Of course not. They cannot. That's the reason that there is such value in trust. Let me ask you this. Have you ever thought that the reason that a number of your current relationships that may be struggling, that may be stressed or souring on you, you ever thought about that it could be a trust issue? Have you ever thought about that some of your friendships that go awry could be a trust issue, a breaking of trust, of confidence? By the way, that's exactly what trust is. All trust is simply this. It simply just indicates confidence in one's ability or power to accomplish things presented them in life. That's the reason. That's what solidifies a friendship. That's what solidifies a marriage. That's what solidifies a job relationship. And may I say to you, that's what solidifies a spiritual relationship as well between you and I and God. A spiritual relationship is solidified by trust. Matter of fact, trust is so valuable and so essential in every relationship that we have in life. And yet it seems that so many of us put so little worth on it. So little time invested in it. You say, what difference does it make anyway, preacher? Well, let me say this. Don't ask me. Ask your family. Don't ask me. Ask your boss. Don't ask me. Ask your spouse if trust matters. Hey, don't ask me. Ask your employer or your friends or your spouse or your family members. Hey, don't ask me. Ask God if trust matters. Hey, just get on your knees tonight and say, Lord, is trust really that valuable and important to my relationship with you? And just listen, see what the answer is. You see, you're going to find out that there is a great value in trust. Now, all I want to do tonight, church, is simply this, is just give you some practical things tonight. Some practical truths about trust, and we're going to look at some places in Scripture to help us to understand these particular truths tonight. Take your Bible, if you would, go to Proverbs 31. Okay, go to Proverbs chapter 31. Go to Proverbs chapter 31, if you would, please, and verse number 10. Now you'll recognize this. Many of you have read it many, many times. The first practical truth I want to give you tonight about trust is this. Trust is something that is earned by testimony and example. Trust is something that is earned by testimony and example. Let me give you a Bible example. Proverbs 31, verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Now I want you to notice what it says in verse number 11. It says, the heart of her husband doth safely, does your King James Bible say trust? In her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Now I want you to notice there, because we go and find, we don't have time tonight to read every single verse in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. But I want you to notice just a couple of things here, and then I'll make the application of trust is something that is earned by testimony and example. Look at a couple of things. First of all, look at verse 16. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengthened her arms. She perceived that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Look at verse 22. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Listen to this. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Kind of sounds like she's kind of busy, doesn't it, you? Kind of sounds like to me that the husband, according to verse number 11, put his trust in his wife by her doings, what she had done, what he had seen. She had earned his trust. Therefore, we get down to the end of the chapter, you will find that he was a very happy man. You know why? Because trust, he saw in her the things that deserved his trust. As a matter of fact, his trust was so strong in her and hers in him, the scripture said that her husband was known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. You see, trust is something that is earned by testimony and example. Let me give you a couple of things to think about here. First of all, time reveals character and integrity. Time reveals character and integrity. You say, oh, Brother Todd, why does trust have to be something earned and by testimony and example? Well, the reason that some of you teenagers pay high car insurance costs. You parents of teenagers understand what I'm talking about? You know why the premiums are so high? I hate to break this to you. You can't be trusted. Is that the bottom line? That's basically the bottom line, isn't it? They don't trust you. You know why? Because trust has to be earned by testimony and example. Now you clean up your driving record, your rates will go down by the time you're about 40. And if you're a young man, I'm just kidding, kids. It's not 40. It's not too much lower than that, though. And if you're a young guy, I don't know if it ever goes down. But that's why car insurance is so high for young people. Because trust has to be earned by testimony and example. That's why the better jobs go to the more experienced people. You know why? Trust. I'm sorry. We might as well just break it down where we can all. That's the reason the better jobs go to the older people is because of more experience. They feel that they can be trusted. You see, a lot of us wouldn't like that. What we do is we want to go in at entry level and yet get ownership and management pay for doing nothing. It don't work that way. You see, I'm just saying to you that's why those types of things are like that, because time reveals character and integrity. This is why we do not, at this church, put brand new members in leadership places right away. Why? Because we want to for them to prove themselves worthy of that position over the course of time. Right? Because time reveals character and integrity. May I say to you also that this is how others know that you can be trusted? They watch you over time. You see, sincere trustworthiness will work its way outwardly and externally over time. If a person cannot be trusted, they show themselves to be untrustworthy. It works its way out. You say, where do you find that in the Bible? Well, let me give you a couple of scriptures here you can turn to later, but you can take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 7. The scripture says, for man looketh on the outward appearance. So you know what people are watching for? They're watching for trustworthiness. They're watching for your actions. They're watching you. They're looking for an example, for a testimony, for character, for integrity. That's the way God made it. That God looks upon the heart. You say, but I'm trustworthy, Brother Todd, in my heart. Well, don't you let some of it work outwardly then so that everybody else will know that you are. Right? It's got to work its way outwardly. You say, well, how, Brother Todd, can I know if a person is trustworthy? Well, just take what Jesus said. Matthew 7, verse 20, Sermon on the Mount. Very simple. Here's what he said. Wherefore, by their fruits, you shall know them. They'll prove themselves who they are. Now, let me ask you this. Is everybody in agreement that the woman in Proverbs 31 was probably trustworthy? Do you think that it was just that her husband put his trust in her? Was she worthy of it? Yes, she was. Absolutely, she was. Go back and look at what she did. The reason being is because she earned his trust. Now, wait a minute. It wasn't because he made her do it. She just did it because that was the way it was supposed to be. And because she fulfilled her obligations as a wife, guess what her husband did? He trusted her. He trusted her. Now, let me say this. Time will tell. That's why those who have been faithful to God over a long period of time are experiencing some of the greatest blessings of God today. Now, for those of you that may have been saved a very short time, let me say this. If you're a new Christian, don't be discouraged if you don't see God's full blessings immediately. Now, what happens is people get saved. They come and they hear people give a testimony about how God has done these great things in their life and answered these prayers, and all of a sudden they thought, well, I don't understand. Why isn't God doing that for me? Why isn't God performing those things for me? Well, just hang on now. You show yourself faithful, you be trustworthy, you will see them. The blessings will come. But time reveals character and integrity. Not only does it reveal your personal character, it also reveals your spiritual character. So all I'm saying to you is this. Not just time reveals character and integrity, but testing reveals character and integrity. God puts us through tests. And remember, we learned a long time ago that when God puts us through a test, He's not trying to get us to see if we're going to do bad. You see, when God tests a person, He's trying in that testing to work out that which is good in our spirit, not that which is bad. You see, the devil tempts. You know why he tempts? To try to work out that which is bad in your spirit. To try to work that which is the old flesh, to try to get it to come to the surface. God tests to prove you and to prove me. You see, testing reveals character and integrity. Let me say one last quick thing here, and that is trials reveal character and integrity. Okay, trials reveal. So you take time, you take testing, and you take trials, and all three of those together, God will find out how we respond to these things and how we respond to testing and how we respond to trials, because they go a long way in determining your trustworthiness and my trustworthiness. So all I'm saying to you tonight, church, is simply this, is that there is a value in trust. And trust must be earned by testimony and example. All right, let me give you number two. Turn, if you would, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. All right, take a look here. You'll recognize it when you get there. Here's the second thing I want to point out about trust. Not only must it be earned by testimony and example, but number two, trust is a reciprocating action. Say, what's that mean? Let me show you something here. Everybody there? 1 Thessalonians 2:4. Paul said, but as we were allowed of God. Now keep in mind now, he didn't say that everybody was allowed of God. He said we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Even so, we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Stop. Time out. Was Paul trustworthy? If he wasn't, God would not have trusted him with the gospel. And you know why I know he was trustworthy? Because he said he wasn't doing it to please men, but God. So he was trustworthy. And so the point I want to make to you tonight, church, is simply this. That trust is a reciprocating action. It's not only a receiving, but it's a giving action. Let me show you something here. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 3. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. You'll recognize this. Okay? Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5. Okay, Paul says he was allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Sounds like God trusted him. But wait a minute. Notice here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. Here's a command for us. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You see, it's a reciprocating action. God says, you display trust toward me, and guess what I'll display toward you? Trust. It's a reciprocating action between me and the Lord. Let me say this to you. The amount of trust that God extends to us today in our daily walk may be just in direct proportion to the trust that you and I put in His power and His person to perform all the promises we have in the Bible. You see, most of us don't believe God is going to come through with some of these things. We don't trust Him like we should. And yet the Scripture says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Amen. All thine heart. Amen. Now folks, I'm going to tell you something. Can you imagine a Christian? Now you're going to have to imagine this because we don't know very many like this, right? But if you imagine a believer that took and put all of their trust in the Lord. Wait a minute, not just for salvation. I'm talking about with their stuff, with their things, with their life, with their health, with their vehicles. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. That vehicle that you drive around in, it's not yours. God's just loaning that to you so you can get around it. Hey, listen, when we get in the car in the morning, do we even think about praying and say, Lord, you know, it sure would be nice if you'd protect me all the way to work today and all the way home. I'm just going to trust you for safety. Now, wouldn't it be an amazing thing if there were such people like that, that put all their trust in the Lord? Now, you listen to me. People who do that then in turn reciprocate the trust that comes from above, from God. Now, I want you to listen to this, okay? Now, the amount of God, or the amount of trust that God extends to us is probably going to be in proportion to the amount of trust that we put in Him to perform the promises of the Bible. You see, trust is the active ingredient in your relationship with God. You know, a lot of times we get vitamins and medications and things. If you'll take that bottle and flip that thing around and you'll read on there, there's an active ingredient. involved there. That's what kind of gets the ball rolling. That's kind of what the thing that kind of stimulates the whole thing. Can I say to you that tonight, folks, that trust is that foundation. It's that active ingredient. It's the thing that stimulates your Christian life and your relationship before God. You see, can God be trusted? You say, oh, yes, yes, God can be trusted. Well, how do you know He can be trusted? Well, I got a whole book right there of just incredible things that He's done. I've got a whole book there of incredible miracles that He's done and promises that He's fulfilled and will fulfill to those who will trust Him. You see, trust is that active ingredient that gets the thing going. Now, let me say to you this. If God can be trusted, then can God trust you? Okay, I know God can be trusted, but can God trust us? You say, well, who's that up to? You and me. Hey, God's got everything here in the Scriptures, and if I'll just follow it, obey it, and put it to practice, you know what I'll do? I want to trust God with all my heart. I want to give Him everything. I'll trust Him with every area of my life. You see, if you trust God actively in your daily life and show it before men with your daily actions, then God will trust you with more and more in your Christian life. God will have confidence in your ability to get the job done with the things that He has given you. Now, let me give you a perfect application here to this. Turn, if you would, quickly. Now, I've got just a couple of minutes here. Luke chapter 6. Okay? Look, turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. All right? Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38. And most of the verses I've used tonight, you've probably read them 1,000 times. But you know, if you're like me, sometimes I just read them and I've read them so many times, they just kind of go, psh. You know, read them so many times. Luke 6, verse 38. Okay, here's a good principle applied here. Hey, you want to see some reciprocation here? Okay, I'm going to give you an example of reciprocation here. Here's what God says. Give, and it shall be given. But wait a minute, what's the active ingredient to this? The active ingredient to this is trust, or in this case, giving. Did you know He didn't say it shall be given if you give? He said, give, and it shall be given. You see, the active ingredient has to start with see, God's ability hasn't gone away. His ability to provide is still there. He says, now here it is, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. Now listen, here's the principle now. For with the same measure ye meet. May I insert, not to the scripture, but insert to the sermon here, with the same trust that you trust Him, listen to me now, it shall be measured to you again. You see, the reason that some of us don't have what we think we ought to have is because we can't be trusted. You say, well, that makes me mad. Well, you ought to be mad at yourself because you've proven yourself to be that way. Just like I've proven myself to be that way. And God cannot trust some of us with certain things. We shouldn't be upset at it. We should correct it. So that we can prove ourselves to be trustworthy. You see, there is value in it. So trust is a reciprocating action. Trust God, and in turn, you will be trusted. And here's the last thing, and I'm done. I'm not even going to develop this. I'm just going to mention it. Trust is accountability. If you're going to be trusted, you're going to have to be accountable. That's just the way it is. You see, if a person on a job is going to put their trust in someone to manage a business, that manager is going to have to be accountable, right? He can't just do whatever he wants. But see, that's what trust involves. Trust involves responsibility, and trust involves accountability. Now, church, there is value in trust. And it may be that some of us that are struggling, stressed out, relationships in every area of life soured, including our relationship with the Lord, I'm just saying to you tonight, maybe a trust issue. Maybe a trust issue among your fellow brethren, and it may be a trust issue between you and God. Say, oh, I wish I could do this or had this or something. You know what? It may come to pass if we proved ourselves to be more trustworthy. You know, the thing about it is I might have a little bit more of this right here, and you might if I could be trusted with it. But the reason most of us don't have more of this is because when God gave it to us, we did something stupid with it. So, hey folks, let's don't get mad at anything. Let's just make it right. Let's just get trustworthy. And I'm not talking about individually, I'm talking about collectively as a church. We've got to be honest. We've got to be right. Hey, why would God trust Trinity Baptist Church or a member of Trinity Baptist Church with anything, more of His blessing, more of His power, more of His grace, if we're untrustworthy? If when He does extend it, we do nothing with it. We've got to be trustworthy. There's value in trust. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're visiting here with us tonight, and you don't know